abilities, we see Imola. It is my duty to fight.
What do you say you and me take a walk over to the tavern?
Let's pull up a chair.
A little something to eat.
Welcome to the Mouse and Castles.
Come on, Johnny, what are we waiting for?
This is a gathering place for fans of all things Disney. So sit back,
chow down,
have some sips, and chit-chat about the magical world created by Walt Disney.
Too long I've been parched of thirst and unable to quench it.
Well, hello there. Welcome. Welcome back to the Mouse and Castle Podcast. I'm your host, Riley Blanton. So glad you've tuned in this week. We've got a great show for you as we talk about the latest and greatest from the House of the Mouse. Ooh, I like that tagline. We should stick with that. That should be like the normal intro. Wouldn't you agree, Aaron Goins?
I feel like we can't be the first ones to use that.
The latest and greatest from the House of the Mouse?
Yeah, there's got to be like 10 other podcasts already using that.
There aren't any other Disney podcasts, right? Aren't we the first ones, I think, right?
Maybe the first ones with us.
We're the very first debut original Disney podcast with Riley Blanton and Aaron Goins. See, it kind of works, right? It's a little run around there. But no, we've got a lot to talk about. There's been a lot in the world of Disney. As you heard right at the beginning of the stinger of the podcast, Mulan is out. Well, the trailer, the teaser trailer for Mulan. Let's take a look right here.
We have excellent news. The matchmaker has found you an auspicious match.
It is decided. Come and sit down.
So we have it's the family life. She's kind of standing there, quite literally at the kitchen sink. The symbology is very strong from the original film. Aaron, where does Mulan stack as far as your favorite Disney movies? I know it's one of them.
Mulan's kind of it's up there, but it's definitely not like top 10. It's a movie I like, but I don't rewatch it often.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember because I saw it a little older than, it's not one of the movies I grew up with, but I remember probably being like 11 or 12. And watching it with my sister Bethany and being really into it because it was like the first epic Disney movie, like with war and swords and death and Huns and it was comedic dragons, but we'll get to that part in just a minute.
Snatch.
It is decided. Come and sit down. It is what is best for our family.
Yes, I will bring honor to us all.
And they really set the scene of a peaceful and beautiful culture outside of the war that comes. It's a heavy contrast trailer because you see that part at the very beginning, and you see sort of this council of elderly women and the family sitting at the proverbial table talking about what's best, and she's like, I will bring honor to us all. Of course, a reference to the original song.
Yeah, and the dad is just laying down the law,
although he's doing it kind of I'm reaching into my memory, it's been years since I've seen it, but I remember the dad being kind of a jerk
I feel like the portrayal, at least in this trailer, is a little bit more of a jerk than the guy we had in the animated film. He was the one in the animated film definitely was stern, but also very kind.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
That's sort of like, it's like a three chapters all in a minute and 30 seconds, because that's like the first 30 seconds of the trailer. And then there's this kind of turn.
Quiet. Composed. Graceful.
interestingly enough, as you know, quiet, composed, graceful, these are the qualities as they're talking about. This middle part of the trailer shows Mulan expressing those virtues, but in a way that's not traditional, with a sword, quite literally. And then we see her in her sort of full cultural getup. And it's disciplined, and it cuts to a warrior training.
It is my duty to fight.
Disney's Mulan, spring 2020.
I think we're going to get the most serious take on the live action remake that we've gotten yet.
In what way?
Just that, you know, with all the other movies that we've seen so far, they're very much comedic. You know, there's, you know, even Beauty and the Beast had very comedic moments with Gaston and other characters. Aladdin obviously is, you know, almost straight up a comedy. Most of these movies that we've gotten, Jungle Book, and, you know, they're definitely very heavy on the comedy. This one seems to have done away with, you know, obviously we're not going to get Mushu. We're not getting that, you know, kind of Eddie Murphy character. So it's like, well, if you are going to have a comedic, you know, part of this movie, it's kind of hard to find, at least in what we've seen so far.
That's the reaction I saw some on social media was,
all right, that's it. Dishonor. Dishonor on your whole family. Make a note of this. Dishonor on you. Dishonor on your cow.
That's what I saw. I saw a lot of that gif. Because there's no Mushu. Hashtag where's Mushu?
But it makes, I mean, think about it. This movie would be tough to make if you included Mushu. Unless you just made it straight up a comedy. You know, the fact that they're really trying to make this look a little bit more like a serious, you know, kind of traditional Chinese epic film, which, you know, I really like those kind of films. Like, I was a big fan of House of Flying Daggers and Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, Hero. These are movies that I really love. So when I'm watching this trailer, I'm getting those kind of vibes where I'm like, oh, this is really cool. It's like the story of Mulan, but not the way I saw it in an animated form. Like, they're taking the same story and presenting it in a completely different way, which is something they really haven't done yet in the live action remakes.
Yeah, even that's kind of some of the criticism The Lion King is getting right now, is that it's too unoriginal. Like, it doesn't take enough liberties with the source material.
Yeah, I've seen that. I mean, I've been trying to stay away from too many reviews with Lion King because I don't want to, like, color my own opinion. But just, yeah, some of the early reactions do seem to be like, hey, it was basically they layered over, you know, digital animation over the original animated. Even so far as I saw a clip that somebody actually, you know, pirated from the theater, and, you know, they were kind of comparing it to the animated film, and it was even just the framing of the shot, the zooming in, zooming out, like, it was exactly like the animated film. So it was like, ugh.
Well, but here's the thing. If there is a nearly perfect Disney animated film, it kind of is Lion King. Like, that would be, if there's one to not mess with, then I could see that being there. And we're going to talk about it next week because I know we're both going to be seeing it at some point this weekend. And we'll give our own reviews of it. But it is seeing some of the mixed reviews. Although I have been listening, I was listening on the road trip this last weekend to the soundtrack, and I actually really enjoyed it. And there were some kind of cool twists on the songs. They aren't carbon copies.
I haven't listened to the soundtrack at all. I actually don't like to listen to the soundtracks until I've seen the movie, because I kind of want to be surprised by the changes in the song and stuff.
I think you're making, as the person who has listened to the soundtrack, I think you're making the right decision. I think you are.
Okay.
Although I will say this, Billy Eichner inspired casting as Timon just from listening to the soundtrack. It's amazing. So, but that's all I'm gonna say. we'll have more on it this on Lion King next week. But I do think that that's it's a tough. There is more room to kind of double down on the serious parts of Mulan, because Mulan is a very, I mean, it's a war movie as much as Disney's ever made one, and that is particularly in that era of Disney, with a big like comedic relief in Mushu, and I think that. Here it looks like they're taking the license to remove the comedic elements because they just don't work as well in live action, which, I mean, that's just what I'm assuming, but it makes sense to me.
I do hope she still has kind of those friends, you know, the guys she meets in the military, the guys that are kind of giving her a hard time at the beginning, but they all become close friends. They were kind of comedic relief as well. So maybe that would be a place where they could still keep it very grounded, but still have some comic relief when needed with characters like that, as opposed to a talking miniature dragon.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's very true.
I'm excited for this one. I really am. This one is something that if you had listed out the live action movies coming, I wouldn't have thought I'd be excited for this one as much. But now that I've seen the trailer, I'm like, oh, this is really, I like that they're going a little bit more serious in a different direction than they've gone so far.
Yeah, that's true. And it is a teaser. They do not give a lot away, which I like. This is a kind of a broad brush. And that it's kind of a poetic juxtaposition. I do like the format of the trailer, which, you know, teaser trailers, it's easy to do that. But I do approve. I do approve. Hey, we, in a shocking turn of events, Aaron, there are updates to Galaxy's Edge.
More Galaxy's Edge. I thought we were done talking about that.
And I haven't told you the update to Galaxy's Edge, Aaron.
Oh, okay.
In fact,
reaction.
Aaron's staring right now at a news story that he thinks we're going to talk about with Galaxy's Edge, but he's wrong. Because I just finished my plans to go back to Galaxy's Edge in 3 weeks.
Oh, man. Wait, are you going to go?
I'm going my last weekend here because I did this thing. I was out hanging out with Bethany, and I remembered that the military tickets we buy are 3 days, and I only went to Disney 2, and it expires at the end of the year. And then I looked up, I pulled up, you know what was the worst thing? I pulled up Google Maps. It's like, how far of a drive is it from Las Vegas to Anaheim? And then I saw like, oh, 4.5 hours? Well, I guess I'm not doing, I literally have stuff happening every weekend I'm here. I'm going to be exhausted. I have full training days, and then every weekend I'm traveling or doing something. Like this weekend, I'm going out to San Diego Comic Con, and I'll be covering that. And then the weekend after that, Bethany's coming in town. We're doing a bunch of stuff here in Vegas. I'm finally actually going to go down to the Strip and stuff. And then the weekend after that, my last weekend here, I actually am going back to Disneyland, Galaxy's Edge.
Wow, man.
I can't get enough.
Oh, to be young and free.
Man. And
you're going way too early for the Galaxy's Edge Rise of the Resistance opening, though. So you're not.
Which is the new story Aaron actually is looking at, because we do have the announcement. Rise of the Resistance is opening. And we have the dates, but here's the new story behind the new story. Like, they released a new cool poster and, you know, get excited about it. But the real story to me is the fact that it is not Disneyland that is opening Rise of the Resistance first. In fact, Disney World is beating it by more than a month. Disney World is opening December 5th, but Disneyland is, it's even further delayed, all the way out to January 17th.
Yeah, I mean, it's fair though, right? Disneyland got to open Galaxy's Edge first, so why not give Disney World something?
I guess it must have slowed the construction, perhaps, or maybe there were just separate complications that pushed it back, because that's a long time to wait for something that, and of course they didn't say this, but I think I assumed, and a lot of people assumed, like, oh, it's a slight delay, they're going to go ahead and open it, but, you know, it won't be that far behind. You know, it's going to be almost 6 months after, more than 6 months after it opened by the time that Rise of the Resistance opens at Disneyland. But I guess it really does point to how...
I think it's strategic, really.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
More than mechanical or construction or anything like that. I think it's straight up strategic timing. December 5th, that's kind of a little bit early before the Christmas holiday season rush. It's kind of a lower time at Disney World, at least. So that would be a time that they could probably fit something like this in and not just overwhelm with crowds. And then January 17th is kind of the opposite. It's the tail end, the aftermath of the holiday rush, and it's also a slow time. So I could see this being a little bit more strategic than anything else.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but I don't want to discount how complex this ride is. Like, even the official kind of description that they've put out, and I've even read the sort of more spoilery behind-the-scenes breakdowns of some of the construction, and it is crazy. I mean, we've talked about it on the show, how complex this ride is. It's everything, but it's like the, quote, epic battle of the First Order and the Resistance culminates with a face-to-face confrontation with Kylo Ren. This is straight from Disney. It blurs the lines between fantasy and reality, taking you from a ready room to the cockpit of a transport ship that flies with the simulating takeoff and landing, and then you'll be separated into your own quote-unquote jail cells for questioning, and from there on, it's every man for himself to evade the First Order. I mean, just even that, which is slightly spoilery, puts the context of just how many levels to this, right? It's almost like, when I've read it, I can best describe it almost as a pre-ride and then two rides. Like, you have all, they've really kind of souped up the in-line experience, and then you have the ready room transport ship portion, and then you have the confrontation portion. There are more things I've read about it, but I actually feel like it's almost a spoiler, which is funny to say about a Disney ride, but it's true. I'd be really interested.
I know there had been some speculation that they were waiting to open this ride until after the release of The Rise of Skywalker, because some content in the ride may, you know, be a little spoilery for the movie. But I guess that is not the case now, because if it's opening December 5th, that is before The Rise of Skywalker comes out. So, but it will be a cool thing to do, you know, right before going to see the movie.
That's true, although that's merely 2 weeks before it comes out. So I could see them being willing to have some maybe slight spoilers. Like Luke.
Or maybe stuff that they reveal in, you know, some of the marketing leading up to the movie. It's like, oh, go ride this ride and you can see a new character. Or
brilliant. Brilliant, sir. Yeah, I could totally see that.
So I may be, because I'm going to Disney World in November. Well, you are too, because we're doing the wine and dine race, which is about a month too early for this ride opening. So I'm thinking maybe a quick little weekend trip sometime in December, you know, just to maybe catch it before the movie comes out.
That's what I was about to ask you, because, and again, the Disney World military tickets are 4 days, and I'm only going to use three at most in November, and that's at most. So I'll have that extra day that expires by the end of the year, so I'll have the same excuse to go down there.
I wonder if there'll be a height restriction on this ride. Have they said anything about that?
I don't know. But
I'm only wondering because I'm thinking about bringing my son, and I don't know if he's not tall enough, then it's not worth really bringing him.
I don't think it does. Does Star Tours?
No. I mean, it probably does have a height restriction, but it's very low. In Flight of Passage, my son's tall enough to ride Flight of Passage, so I'm assuming he'd be tall enough to ride this.
From what I've read, I think you're good. I think you're good.
Yeah, so I'm thinking maybe me and him take a weekend trip in early December.
I'll crash. I'll be third wheel. I'll do it. I've done it before. Operational at that time will be the gondola system.
The gondolas, yes, which will be operational by the time we're there in November, so we might be able to catch a ride on one.
I know. Go to this pun from Fox News. It can't technically be called a magic carpet ride, but Disney's still aiming to give guests a new fantastic point of view with its soon-to-debut gondola system.
I need to look at the kind of what's the route that it takes? Because I know you can go from certain resorts, and I believe it's Hollywood Studios is one of the parks that it takes you to.
Yeah. It'll transport guests to Disney's Riviera Resort. I don't have. There's one other one too.
I know. I think is it Pop Century?
That was the one.
In Caribbean Beach.
I'm just going off the top of my head right
the
now.
Budget, but yeah, but it was the budget resorts that'll it'll kind of maybe funnel some more traffic to them. So maybe that weekend in December, we'll just do that. They're themed after Coco, Finding Dory, Haunted Mansion, Monsters, Inc., Pirates of the Caribbean, Ratatouille. There's a whole bunch of them. They look great.
A ton
of
them, yeah.
Are you still in the eyesore category, though?
Like I said, I think it's just a matter of seeing them and riding it and seeing if it's kind of like, okay, this is pretty cool. I do, you know, I am a little hesitant to praise them because I do feel like it is going to just be one more thing on the skyline that I have to see that, you know. We'll see how strategic they were in the placement.
Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you the link, Aaron, because on the Disney Parks blog website, we'll put the link also in the show notes at mouseandcastlepodcast.com. Hey, whenever you're listening to the podcast, you can always pull up the notes on the app. And I don't talk, as a longtime podcaster, this is a more recent thing, but the Apple Podcasts app, Pocket Casts, Google Podcasts, basically any of the new apps, you can just tap on the notes and that'll populate the links that we're talking about right now from the show notes. And it makes it really easy to follow along, especially when we're talking about visual stuff. So like Aaron, you can see here, they actually have a more skyline view of what it'll look like in the Disney Parks blog. Were you able to load it there?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You put this in the Skype chat?
Oh, sorry. No. I sent it to you on Facebook. But yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah. So, but it has. I mean, it has like some of the Mickey and Minnie painting and the Goofy painted. Some of the different they're very brightly colored paints, which kind of also fit the resorts because the one we're forgetting is Disney's Art of Animation. It also goes to that one as well. But only goes to two parks: Hollywood Studios and Epcot. But that's the look. I kind of like the look. I think it fits.
I think they look cool. The actual, you know, cars look really cool, and I love the artwork and you know kind of the way it's designed to make it look like these different characters are riding it and they're looking out the window, or you know, it looks really cool. So I feel like the more and more I'm seeing about this, the more I'm, you know, kind of changing my mind about them being an eyesore. So we'll see, but I'm excited to try it out and see what kind of views, you know, you get up in that thing and see what kind of views of the parks and resorts that you get that you previously wouldn't have had.
Yeah, no, I think so. I definitely want to try it out. If we go in December, we'll have to find an excuse to ride on them.
We can ride them in November. They'll be up.
Oh, that's right.
And we are going to Epcot for the run, so maybe we hop on a gondola before we head over to the race.
Yeah, there we go. I like. One more story here. This week on Mouse and Castle, of course, it's in the midst of so many live action announcements. Mulan, Lion King coming out this weekend. The Disney live action continues to be the centerpiece of the studio's efforts these days. But part of that was they made the big casting announcement. They announced Hailey Bailey as Ariel in The Little Mermaid, my girlfriend's favorite Disney movie, by the way. She has very red hair, so I think she very much identifies with Ariel, which became somewhat of a controversy, Aaron. And by somewhat of a controversy, I mean if you look at Twitter, it's like the whole place is burning down. I'm exaggerating only slightly, but it's of course it's that weird parallel universe where all controversy is magnified tenfold when it comes to any kind of social or political element with pop culture. So it's always kind of dangerous territory, and I don't really like talking about that part as much on the podcast because we like to just like geek out about Disney and have fun with it. But I did actually want to ask you what you thought of the casting, and of course this is a Rob Marshall joint. Of course he did work on the more recent Pirates of the Caribbean, and they announced her as Ariel. She's not white, and some people were upset about that. and there was a lot of trolling and a lot of stuff like that. But as like I haven't seen, I'm not familiar with her work. But are you excited by it? Where are you on The Little Mermaid? Does this make you more excited, less excited for the film?
I mean, I love The Little Mermaid, one of my favorite Disney movies. Love the music from it. It's one of the. I mean, it was kind of the first Disney movie in the, you know, Disney
renaissance. You know, it kind of kickstarted the success of all the following movies. So yeah, huge fan, and was interested to see what they were going to do with the live action. Just like, you know, I always am with these live action movies. I'm a little hesitant what they're going to do with these movies because I just hold them all so dear. So this, I mean, we had all kind of heard the rumors of Zendaya being cast, and we had talked about that kind of on our last episode, and we were like, oh, let's stay away from the speculation until we hear some official casting. And literally, I think it was the day after we recorded that is they officially announced Haley. So I don't know anything about her, really. I don't know. I think she's been in a couple TV shows maybe, but I really haven't seen her act. And I know she's also a singer, which makes sense. You know, you want whoever's going to be playing Ariel to be able to sing. So I don't really know much about her, though. So I don't really have any kind of any expectations going in on how she's going to handle the role.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. So she is, let's see. She has a number of albums. Interesting. She was in The Two of Us. Let me actually see. I'm pulling up the old IMDb just because I'm curious what she's done before.
See if anything pops out to you. Yeah, and I mean, people say the whole controversy of, you know, they cast someone that doesn't look like what people are used to seeing with Ariel. And people get upset about that for the wrong reasons. And some people have their preferences and what they want, and they want the character to look a little bit more like the character that they grew up with. And, you know, I can see it from that perspective. But, you know, obviously, if you're coming at it from a perspective of, oh, I just don't like this character because you cast a person of color, then that's, you know, that's completely the wrong way to go about it.
My honest reaction is I want to see what the vision is for the movie, and it's obviously a little bit different, but at the same time I think that the sort of look and design of the mermaids are always and I like I remember this in the Pirate, which is funny enough because Rob Marshall did I think that most recent or I guess second to most recent Pirate, there's so many of them, that had that like a big part of the plot was mermaids. I wonder if that's how he got the gig. He's like, I've done mermaids before.
He's like, look, I can here's my sizzle reel.
Johnny Depp may not have been so great, but hey, mermaids. I think my big takeaway glancing is she's been in very little, very unknown kind of casting, which I think is a smart idea when comparing to somebody like Zendaya, who
in a completely different direction to go than if you say something like Beauty and the Beast, right? Because Beauty and the Beast, they cast now I'm blanking on her name, but they cast Hermione and you know, they did go for the look of the character. She matches what you grew up with. You know, she matches, you know, she's the same hair color, same skin color. They dressed her in the same outfits, and she is a very well-known actress. And so this is a different direction to go with it. They're really, you know, they're kind of saying, no, we're not going to go with what you're expecting. We're not going to cast a, you know, light-skinned redhead girl, and we're going to kind of, you know, represent it differently. And it's going to be interesting to see kind of what else they decide to change and, you know, kind of how different and how much they're going to go away from the script on what we're used to seeing with Little Mermaid.
The only, yeah, absolutely. The only regular credit she has, other than shorts or one-off TV episodes, is Grown-ish, which I'm not, it's a spinoff of ABC's Black-ish. And let's see. Zoe Johnson is off to college and must live outside the nest, dealing with drugs, sex, and relationships along the way. Oh man, college. wasn't none of those things were my college experience. I'm just saying that. Drugs, sex, or relationships. None of the above.
You stayed far away.
Yes. Somehow. But what she does have a couple credits are in soundtracks for like the film Little. She was a writer for one of the songs. She was a writer for one of the original songs for A Wrinkle in Time, Warrior, which I never even saw that movie, but I remember hearing the song on like pop radio and like on the Disney Spotify. She has a couple other music writing credits, which I think is interesting. And I wonder if they if as a singer and even writer, music writer, if they would bring her talents to not only bring her acting chops, but maybe have her more as a collaborator for the music production, which I think.
And this has got Lin-Manuel Miranda as well, right? Isn't he doing some music stuff for this movie? I think that's true. Which I mean, that's, you know, he's obviously super talented in that way as well, songwriting and all of that. So, yeah, I mean, that speaks to her talent. You know, it's one thing to be a pop singer, but to actually be a songwriter as well is a whole nother thing. So, yeah, and I'm very curious to see. I just don't have a lot of information about her or as far as seeing her in anything.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Let's see. Some fun trivia. Jodie Benson, the original Ariel, gave her approval and was very supportive of Haley. She also said that she had been in talks about making an appearance in the film, so which would be kind of interesting. Production will begin filming in April 2020. And this is the fourth collaboration with Rob Marshall, who directed On Stranger Tides, which is the one I'm thinking of with the mermaids. But he also did Into the Woods and Mary Poppins Returns. So
I loved Into the Woods. And I looked it up. Lin-Manuel Miranda is doing work for Little Mermaid with Alan Menken, who's the original.
So there seems, if you're asking me, there's a good opportunity to, because it's not a very musical film. You have Part of Your World, Under the Sea, and
it's not a very musical film. Are you kidding me?
And Poor Unfortunate Souls,
some of the most iconic. Disney song.
No, but allow me to let me finish the point. No, I'm kidding. there are three songs, right? Am I off?
No.
Yeah. What? All right. Hang on.
Under the Sea, Kiss the Girl.
That four songs. Sorry.
Part of Your World.
That's three. And then Poor Unfortunate Souls.
Well, and then Poor Unfortunate Souls. I'm sure I'm missing. Oh,
True.
It's a whole soundtrack. It's just like any other Disney movie. And it's actually one of the Disney movies that's more known for its music. So I'm gonna push back on that one on you, Riley.
You're right. Damn it. I had this really good point to make. I had a great point that I was going to make, but it was showing my ignorance of the film because I've only seen it like once. No, twice.
Part of Your World is a top five Disney song for me, and Kiss the Girl is definitely top 10. I love the soundtrack. It's a good one.
You don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down.
It is pretty good.
It was everything in me not to sing along with that.
Yeah,
the listeners will thank me.
It's like the Dare Don't Sing challenge on YouTube. you're right. I was going to go the direction of that they were going to write more music for it, but I guess there's not that much more room for more music unless, you know, if they're going to cut out one song, they're going to cut out this one. I'm sorry. That's going. If they cut out,
yeah, they'll probably cut it out, but they'll do some sort of a musical reference to it. You know, there will be a scene where they just do that little music.
That'll be where Lin-Manuel Miranda can do his work.
Yeah, but I think that he'll probably do an original song. You know, it seems to be kind of the trend with these live action movies. You know, Beauty and the Beast did a couple original songs.
Does a moment last for? See, now I'm doing it, and I didn't have the self discipline that you did either. I went straight into it. Dang it.
But you know, Aladdin had an original new song. They'll do at least one new original song.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
No, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. Part of Your World. I guess with that kind of isolated. I mean, I can understand in some way. I can be sympathetic without getting political of both perspectives on wanting to see something new and then wanting a faithful adaptation. But I lean more into the new category. If I'm honest, I think there's more potential for a better film if they're willing to be a little more original and add some twist to the film, because you don't want to just a pure remake. And whether that becomes the appearance of a character, maybe some parts of the way the character is expressed, or as Beauty and the Beast did, additional backstory that kind of adds depth to the characters, new songs by really creative guys like Lin-Manuel Miranda. That's the kind of thing that I'm hoping to see. So I'm optimistic. That's what I'm saying.
Completely agree. I think that the more that they kind of veer from the original story, it makes these movies, it allows these movies to stand on their own. And we'll see what Lion King did, because I keep hearing things that it's too close. But I think their other ones so far have done a good job of adding enough content that's different. So it's kind of its own version of the same story. And it seems like that's what they're doing with Little Mermaid as well.
Yes, for sure. For sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. We will be tracking along with it as we go. And that is going to bring this episode of the I almost said Star Wars Report. Oh my gosh. The Mouse and Castle. I was just recording it before it. Mouse and Castle, Disney, Little Mermaid.
How many wonders can one cavern hold? Looking around.
To a close. Hey guys, thanks so much for thanks so much for listening to the Mouse and Castle podcast once again. We'll be turning around. I say this, Aaron, you're free next week, right? We're going to talk about Lion King, right?
Sure.
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll have my people talk to your people. We'll get it worked out. But we will be recording our Lion King review and see it for ourselves, even though I know the reviews are just coming out. So we'll see. Hey, stay in touch with the show. Follow us on social media. It's at Mouse and Castle, at Mouse and Castle on Instagram. And and make sure you subscribe to the Mouse and Castle newsletter. It's run a little late this week. Because I was traveling this weekend, but actually, after I record this, I'll be sitting down to write it up and send it out to all of you fine folks who do. It's a recap of some of the key news stories of the week and Aaron's hot take on some recent development in the world of Disney. I text him, and he's like texting me back his very strong reaction. Aaron can be a little salty sometimes on the newsletter. this upcoming one gets a reaction though from the younger Goins. Quinn Goins hot take coming up. So subscribe to the newsletter. The best way to do that is bit.ly/mouseandcastle. M-O-U-S-E. M-O-U-S-E. You just think of the jingle. bit.ly/mouseandcastle. Or if you go to mouseandcastlepodcast.com, that's where you'll find the notes, and there's a little button with a letter there, and that's where you can click through and subscribe to the Mouse and Castle newsletter. And just get some of the Mouse and Castle goodness in your very own email inbox. Aaron, where can people find you?
Let Mouse and Castle be part of your world.
Dang it! Aaron! I literally, as I started playing the part of your world in the background here for the end credits right here, I was like, oh, I'm going to say, thanks for letting us be part of your world as the sign-off. I have the sign-off.
I ruined it for you.
You ruined the one good sign-off.
I was trying.
Damn it. Come on, man. Where can people find you on the internet while I think of a better sign-off?
Normal place is Twitter, at AVGoins. Instagram. Yeah, look, you know, obviously we're posting a lot of stuff on our Mouse and Castle Instagram, so that's...
Yes.
That's where you find me, too.
Yes, lots of...
I just posted a selfie of myself with Mickey Mouse.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I was just posted a picture of me and Bethany on our last Disneyland trip, so... and you can also, follow me at The Riley Guy on Instagram. That's a great way to follow along with the various shenanigans I'm up to, especially with the upcoming Disneyland trip. We'll have lots of posts there. So it's a great way to keep in touch with us in between shows. Send us an email, mouseandcastle@gmail.com. And that's going to do it. Mouseandcastlepodcast.com. That's where you can find all the links to what we've talked about. And until next time, don't be a poor, unfortunate soul. And let us be down where it's wetter and where it's better under the podcast. I don't know. It's whatever. I just,
you ruined it. I had a good one.
They understand that they don't reprimand their daughters. Bright young women.
I'm actually slightly ticked off.
Ready to stand. Ready to go.
Now you have to sing. Go.
Ask him a question. Get some answers.
Yes.
I knew. I sensed it. I sensed that you were going to have a good one, and I just wanted to undercut you.
Dang it.
It's my role, man.
See you guys next time.
Out of the sea.
We officially played too much of the song and we are now demonetized.
Dang it. Oh my gosh. Aaron, I'm serious. I was actually pissed off. I was like, I've got it. There's no argument. That's a great sign off.
I made for some good banter at the end.
Yeah.
It's good radio.
It's yeah, you know what? It's good radio. It'll end our friendship one day. It's
good. Yeah, you'll never get over this one.
All right, man. Like I say, I'll be I'll